Last time, as we preached from this place, in verse 1, we tried to bring out that John was not a participant. He was an observer and a recorder of what was going on. It's typical of us today. We live in this world, but we're not to be a part of this world. We're supposed to live separated lives from this world. We're not to be like the world, not to think like the world. We're not to go to a lot of the places that the world goes to. We're supposed to be a separated people unto the Lord. And that's the way John was as he stood upon the sea. Of course, John, there's no indication at all in verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3 as we read, there's no indication that John had any fear. No indication at all as he watched this beast rise up out of the sea. You know, God does not want us to have any fear. We live in this world and we see events taking place that are obviously wrong. It's sometimes sin and sometimes even worse things happening that is an abomination before God. But we are to live in this life a separated, godly life, letting our light shine and not being afraid. You see, perfect love casteth out fear. That's what the Bible said. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. So we want to be as John when he watched. I can just picture him in my mind, and I know you're not supposed to do that, I guess, but the image here is pretty vivid in verse 1. How that John is standing on the sand. He's not on a mountaintop. He's standing on the sand looking at the water, and you're down right there at the beach. I mean, you're right there at the water, and he sees this monster coming up out of the sea, and he has no fear. That's the way we ought to be. When we see the events taking place that are leading to the end of time, we should not have any kind of fear. We should not. We should trust the Lord, believe in the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be able to do that. We should be able to do that. We should. Of course, there's always this flesh that you deal with. And we're not talking about that. You understand, we're not talking about this flesh. We're talking about in our spirit, there's no fear. We're trusting the Lord. We're going on. We read verse 1 again, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Well, that is a mixture, isn't it? It is a mixture, and it's a horrible mixture. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. As if the first three are not bad enough, the last one is that the dragon, that is the devil, gives a power and his seat and his great authority. Tonight, we want to speak on the subject of identification. Because that's what this is about, is identifying of a certain that this is not of God. You know, a lot of people are afraid to say that. A lot of people are afraid to say, why, that's not of God. Why is that? Why is that? I mean, do you not know whether it's of God or not? But I've known people. I knew a guy a long time ago. I thought this is ludicrous. But if he had the radio on and a preacher come on, he would not turn it off as long as that preacher was on the air and preaching. Now, why? Well, beats me. I mean, if it was somebody preaching heresy, he'd just leave it on. He said, well, you can't tell. He might say something that God wants him to say. And I'm thinking, I don't think so. I mean, there is right and there is wrong, and there's nothing wrong with standing up and saying that's right and that's wrong. And identification is very important. Another thing we want to look at here as we look at this idea of identification is that God wants us to understand. Look at that. He wants us to understand. The book of Revelation, to many people, has been proclaimed to be a closed book. A lot of people say it's a book you cannot understand. Well, I think some of it we can understand. I think also in there that God gave us a promise and said, if you will read it, I'll bless you. So that's true. That's the way it is. God wants us to have knowledge. God does not want us to be ignorance or to be in ignorance. And He does not want us to be fooled by that thing that is wrong, thinking that it is right. God does not want His people to do that. He wants us to believe and understand. That's why He goes through all of this that He goes through in the book of Revelation to explain it to us. All right? That's why He's doing that. It's a matter of identification that this is the Antichrist kingdom. Now, saying all of that, understand this. Some people will never get it. All right? Some people will never get it. They can see the evidence as plain as anything could possibly be, and they won't get it. Now, let me read you a passage about this book of 2 Peter. The book of 2 Peter. The Bible talks about people that sometimes just simply do not want to believe it. And here's what it says. And so you understand in this issue of identification that there's some people that are blind. And we'll read about that in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 1. See, there's some folks that's never going to get it. And so you can't be overly concerned or anxious about people that you talk to that don't want to hear what you're saying. You've got to keep on preaching the truth, ministering to people that want to hear. One thing that I learned in my ministry, and I was at Salem at that time, and I was trying to help people. But you know, there's some folks that don't want help. They're very content exactly where they are. And that works in the ministry. And they'll come along and they've got this great big story about how good they are and how hard they're trying, but they never do get anything done. You know what I'm talking about? I had a bunch of them over, it seemed like. And I tried to work with them, and I was just working myself to death. And it was hurting the church. And I was back over in my study one day, and I was reading about people just like this that are willfully ignorant, and read about people that are blind on purpose. And I determined then and there that I was going to stop that, and I was going to work with people that wanted to be worked with, and I wasn't going to chase them down. And I was going to be available if they wanted some help. I'd be glad to help them. See, but there's people that ain't going to get it, and they don't want to get it. They don't want it. See here, look in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Okay, there's a pure mind there in verse 1. Verse 2. That ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, Now, that's the Old and New Testament. All right? So I want you to be mindful of what the Bible says. Verse 3, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust and say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now look in verse 5, and this is the point here. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Here's some things that people are willingly ignorant. They see the evidence, but they don't like what they see because it doesn't fit with what they want to believe, and so they willingly reject what they know is the truth. They're a fool. They're a fool. And he goes on and talks about that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water, in the water, and then talks about the flood and all that. And they don't want to believe in a worldwide flood. They'll do everything in the world, you see. And you know that's so an evolutionist. They'll do everything in the world to prove that they're right. But they're just fools. They're fools. They talk, well, I just mentioned this. They talk about the making of a fossil. I was reminded of this the other night. Somebody reminded me, and I forget who it was. But it was the making of a fossil. Do you know, and you just think about it, that if a bird dies, if a bird flying through the air dies and falls to the ground, what happens to that bird? Well, the body decays, bugs eat it, or an animal comes along and eats it. Why don't it turn into a fossil? Well, it's got to be buried. Now, you don't have to have a second grade education to understand that. I mean, a child can get that. That in order to make a fossil, you've got to have something that's dead that's got to be buried quick. I mean, that's so obvious it shouldn't even require words. But that's why he says they're willingly ignorant. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, you see. This thing of identification, there are those that simply are willingly ignorant. There are those that do not want to hear what's really being said. Jesus Christ faced this. Many of the prophets before Christ faced exactly the same thing. And it's exactly the same thing that we face today in this thing about identification. You remember when Jesus Christ was talking to folks and He'd say, I am the bread of life. Now what does He mean? Chew my finger? Why, no. And he was pointing to those people that was chasing Him down to get another meal that there's more to that. He said to the woman at the well, I'll give you living water. She said, well, hey, that's the kind I want. And it wasn't long until she began to see what He was talking about. You know, you got to hear the message. You got to hear what the messenger is saying to get the message. You got to be willing to listen. But there's people that have their minds made up already, so don't confuse them with facts. I mean, that's what it amounts to. Look back in the book of Matthew. I think it's in chapter 13. But if it's not there, then I'll kind of tell you what I'm thinking about. It's in chapter 13. And here in this place, Christ was asked, why do you always talk in parables? And here's what Jesus said. Now, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10, that's when the disciples came and they asked Christ, why don't you just tell the folks what you're saying instead of talking in parables? And here's what Jesus said in verse 11, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Look what it says in verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. It's a heart problem. You say, wait a minute. I thought it was a hearing problem. It's a heart problem. That's the issue. It's a heart problem. This people, see, that's why they can't hear. It's not that the sound is not going into their ear and soaking into their brain. That's not it. It's a heart problem. That's the issue. This people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes. There's a thing there about wanting to understand. And there's some folks that don't want to understand. They want it their way. They don't want it God's way. There's a lot of people that want the appearance of wanting God's way, but they really don't want God's way. The proof is in the pudding, if you might say. Actions speak louder than words, kind of thing. And we read, I think, the passage last time in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 19, where it talks about this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's the issue. That is the issue right there. That's what's going on with this thing of identification. Now let's go back. In the book of Revelation 13, we find here that John, standing on the sand of the sea, looks out over the waters, and the waters, you understand, in Revelation chapter 7, is the multitudes of people and all this stirring that's going on. So this is where the beast comes from. And the Bible said that he saw a beast. He saw a beast come up out of the sea. You can just see it in your mind's eye as this beast, which has seven heads and 10 horns, and it's got the body as a leopard, and it's got feet as a bear and a mouth as a lion, and it comes up out of the water. You can just kind of visualize that in your mind. Boy, that's a horrible looking creature. And John called it a beast. John called it a beast. And this word beast means a wild, untamed one. Don't you think about that a minute. This beast is wild and untamed. You know why? Because it comes from a people that is wild and untamed. Its power comes from one that is wild and untamed. And the kingdom itself is wild and untamed. You think about that. I mean, that's the way it is. Now look at another beast. In Revelation chapter 4, we find here another beast. We studied about this a long time ago. Just refresh your mind about it just a little bit. We're talking about identification. Being able to identify that which is God's and that which is Satan's. Being able to know the difference between the two. In Revelation chapter 4, we find here in verse 6, as John describes what he sees when he gets into heaven, he says, before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. So, oh, we got another wild, untamed, whatever. You say, no? Well, what's the difference? I mean, they're both beasts, according to what the Bible says. Of course, the identification of this beast is not the wild, untamed one. If you look at the actions of this beast, it is glorifying God, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. God is never the author of confusion. Satan always is. Now, if you go back and look at the Greek, which I'm not a Greek scholar at all, but I do have a Strong's and I can look it up, this word beast in Revelation chapter 4 comes from an entirely different Greek word than the word beast in Revelation 13. Revelation 13 is the wild, untamed one. But here, in this one, this is living creature. Revelation 4 is living creature. But you don't have to know the Greek. All you got to do is just read, and you'll know there's a difference in the two. You see, it's identification. That's what God wants us to be able to do, is to identify what belongs to Him and what belongs unto Satan. If you go back in Revelation chapter 13, you'll find here that John had no difficulty understanding that this beast was of the devil. He had no problem with it at all. Look what he says about it. He said, I saw it coming up. I saw it rising up out of the sea. That's a pretty good clue right there, isn't it? It didn't come down from heaven. It rose up out of the sea. What's the sea? Well, that's people. And not only people, it's lost people. Because the believers are gone. Most of them are gone. Israel is in hiding. And of course, there's that part of the nation of Israel, the remnant of the seed of Israel, that is the believing part of Israel. And they're the ones that have the testimony of God and keep the commandments of God. But that beast didn't come up out of them. So that's one good thing. And then when he says, here it is, you've got 7 heads and 10 horns. You say, well, that don't mean nothing to me. Well, I'll tell you what, Will, if you check out your Bible a little bit, and we're going to try to do that in a little bit, you'll identify exactly who that is. Because you can identify in the Bible. You can identify and know who this is. Not only that, you see back down here in verse 2, in the latter part of verse 2, when John said, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, how did John know that? Was there a sign? You know, a neon sign flashing? He could tell by looking. This is of the devil. And there's a lot of things we can tell by looking. That is not of God. It's called spiritual discernment. And God wants us to have it. God, we live in this world and we just need to understand that we need to be able to identify. All right? Now I want to show you some things here. Three little sub-points here. Before I get to those sub-points, men are going to accept the Antichrist because his kingdom is of men. He's working in the flesh. But notice that there are two kinds of wisdom, it's two kinds of people, and it's two kinds of works. Okay? Two kinds of those three. Notice, first of all, there's two kinds of wisdom. The book of James, chapter 3. James chapter 3. And in verse 15, the Bible tells us this. There's two kinds of wisdom. We're talking about identification. There's two things here to look at. And it's what we need is spiritual discernment for what God is and what God is not. Every believer needs to be able to discern what is God's and what is not. Every believer. James 3 and verse 15. Let's read verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So you see, there is a wisdom of this world. That's what the Greeks were seeking after, right? We need to identify that. Verse 16. For where envying and every evil and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Notice here, where did the beast in Revelation 13 come from? Out of the sea? Look here. Verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So there's a type of wisdom that comes out of this world. And that's the Antichrist kingdom. We understand that's what it is. And then he says very clearly in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above. That's an identification. How in the world am I going to be able to tell if the wisdom is from just a man or from God? How are you going to be able to tell? Well, it sounds good. Forget that. Because you can't trust what you're hearing. Say, oh, I'm going to go with how emphatic they are in their declarations. You can't go with that either, because there's some good orators that send you to hell. How do you know it's from above or not? Anybody ever say you check it out in the Bible? Yeah, I mean, that'll work every time. That's how you know. It comes from God. It comes from above. See, that's how you know that that's so. And look at this. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. You know what we're like? You know what we're like? Me and you are saved. You know what we're like? We're about as mixed up as they come. Because we got a little bit of us. Well, we got a whole lot of us and a little bit of God in some of our theology. And we need to get rid of all of us and have only God. We need to base what we believe on the Bible, and not on what I feel or what I think. It's got to be based on there. But there's two kinds of people, two kinds of wisdom, and there's also two kinds of people. Look in the book of Romans chapter 8. Two kinds of people upon this world. And again, there's no middle ground here. Romans chapter 8 and begin reading in verse 5, I think. He talks in the earlier part of this chapter, as of course he's concluding it in with chapter 2, 3, and 4, and 5, and 6, 7, about how that believers are born from above with a salvation that's not of them. Rather, it is a work of God in them, and it is absolutely real. In Romans 8 and verse 5, he says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I'll stop reading because it just goes on and on. It's a good argument here that Paul is making. But you understand what he's saying. Are you carnally minded? Can you tell when someone else is being carnally minded? Oh, I can see that better than I can in me. Why? That's because we're a little carnally minded is the problem there. But Can you identify what he's saying here? Say, well, sometimes does that mean you don't think about this world? Don't think so. I don't mean that at all. Carnally minded, it doesn't mean you're not taking care of you're changing oil in your car and you're checking the air in the tire and you're even eating. And you know how to cook. Nothing wrong with that. That's not being carnally minded. That's not even being fleshly minded. You know, carnally minded is when you don't even think about God, don't care about God, don't say, well, I do care some things about God. Are you one of those guys that got a lot of mixture? It should not be so. It should not be so. But it is. It is so. We need to understand that we need to be spiritual people. From above. We need to identify. Because there's two different kinds of people. And notice also there's two different kinds of works. But perhaps this third point will clarify the second point. There's two different kinds of works. Galatians chapter 5 speaks about these two different kinds of works. Galatians chapter 5. Being carnally minded, being spiritually minded. Galatians chapter 5. Just being able to identify. This is why that there's so much false religion in this world today, because everybody's got their opinion. Nobody wants to say, well, that's of God and that's not. But frankly, some things are not of God. And sometimes it is of God. But you have to find that out in the Word of God. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, that is, totally revealed, and there are many of them. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Say, my, I don't even know what some of those things are. Well, good. We should not be committing adultery even in our minds. To commit adultery in your mind is to be carnal. See, that's what it is. You don't have to go out and commit adultery physically. It's in your mind. Jesus said you committed adultery already. That's carnal. It's not of God. Identify. What is of God and what is not of God. That's what John is doing when he stands up there and he says, boy, this is an ugly beast and it's from the devil. Pretty clear. I wonder if he said, but there's a little bit of good back over there. I don't think so. And see, carnal. There's no middle ground here. There's no middle ground. And then he says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. There's spirituality. Love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and those things, temperance, all of that. All of that. And there's no middle ground in that at all. And that's what he's talking about. Okay? That's what he's talking about. That discernment. Being able to discern what's God's and what is not. And that's exactly what John did. When he stood there on the sand of the sea, he looked at that beast and he said, this beast, I can't find, here it is. This beast is of the devil. In chapter 13, verse 3 of Revelation, or verse 2, that's what he said. This beast is of the devil. Now, we've got a little bit of time left. But I want to talk just a little bit about this thing of wisdom. I want to talk a little bit about this thing of wisdom. And in speaking about this wisdom, I want to start back in Revelation 13 and look again at this beast. And we're not going to get into the as far as I wanted to about this identification. Perhaps we'll take this up next time. But I do want to get this far. In Revelation chapter 13, John gives us a description. He gives us a description of what this beast looks like. And he tells us that it's not from God. Okay? It is from the devil. In studying about this, the first thing that John mentions is that it has 7 heads and 10 horns. That's in verse 1 of chapter 13. Revelation 13:1. That's the first thing he says. It has 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, what would be the way to discover what the 7 heads and the 10 horns are? And if you say, pull down the latest commentary, I'm going to say no. And you knew that was coming. Because, how are you going to find out? Now, let me read you an interesting passage about this. In Revelation chapter 17, Revelation chapter 17, and verse 9. And you know, if you've read this, and I think you probably have read this over and over and over again, you've connected that Revelation chapter 13 and Revelation chapter 17 have a lot of things in common. Notice what it says in Revelation 17, verse 9. It says, here is the mind which hath wisdom. And then he goes on and says this. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen. 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. The beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7th, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns that thou sawest are 10 kings, which shall have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast, who is one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Here's my point that I want to make right here. In order for us to have the kind of wisdom that we need for our spiritual discernment, where are you going to go? And in Revelation 13, verse 1, when it says that this beast has 7 heads and 10 horns, you went to Revelation chapter 17, which is again in the Bible, and you're just using the Bible to find out what the Bible is talking about. It's that principle that I'm giving you there is one of the first rules or principles of biblical interpretation. is let the Bible interpret itself. You say, well, isn't there a shorter cut than that? No, there's not. And I tell you, search programs could be some help, but there's going to be nothing in the world like just sitting and reading. Before computers ever came along, you remember when that was? Well, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? Before they ever come up with all those Bible programs and how you could search through everything. I remember the first one I saw was wild me. But you know what you had to do if you had a question about a verse? You had to pray about it. Oh. You know what? That hadn't changed. I don't care what Bible program you got. That hasn't changed. You still need to pray about it. And you know what? There many, many times I had a question about a verse and I'd struggled. I couldn't get any kind of answer. I'd just be reading somewhere else. Totally different subject. And boom. That's what that means. The Bible interpreted itself. Lots of times I've had questions about the Bible and be praying about it and go to worship services. The preacher get up and preach and it was exactly the answer I needed. I marked that down right there. Yeah, it's happened to you too, hasn't it? See, that wisdom and that discernment that this is God, this is what God is saying, it didn't come because of your intelligence. It didn't come because of your brilliance. But rather it come to you because of spiritual enlightenment from God Himself. I know some of you have experienced this. I know some of you have. Some of you may have never experienced it. And if you've never experienced reading your Bible and just waking up and realizing that 3 chapters ago you went to sleep, that ever happened? And then you went back and got to reading it, and when you realized that happened to you, it was like you had just stabbed Jesus. I mean, you felt horrible about it because you knew it was wrong. And you knew that I ought to be able to pay more attention than that when Jesus is talking to me through His Word. And then you go back and with a humble heart, you ask God to forgive you. And you go back to where you were when you went off to sleep and you began to read. And this time, you pay attention. And as you're reading, you're praying. And it is as if the Word just comes alive in your hands. It is still a book. The Bible is still a book. But it is a living book. And you know that it is God that's speaking to you. That's knowing that that's from the Lord. And it's nothing in your heart. It's nothing, anything like that. It is rather that God has revealed that to you, that spiritual discernment. And oftentimes, I go back and I look at that passage where it talks about ask and seek and knock. And that's not talking about just finding a job or I need help with my car. Sometimes it's, Lord, I need help with me so that I can be what I need to be. And I need help to understand. I need help. I need spiritual discernment, Lord. I need something outside of myself. Sometimes it's not just for salvation. All of those things apply. But the important thing is that we would seek the face of the Lord and He would deliver for us. He'll do that. He loves us. He's given to us His Bible. And we need to be able to identify what's right and what's wrong. We're going to stop right here. Next time, the Lord willing, I just this thing about wisdom and people sometimes that just don't want it. I don't want to be one of those at all. But next time, the Lord willing, we want to continue with this identification feature that we're the subject that we're looking at. And we want to go through and just show you how clear it is in the Bible about this kingdom that Satan is establishing. And where it all come from. And you just read the Bible and there it is. And you just can't get away from it. It's there. And it's very, very plain as to who these are. We're going to also chase a couple of rabbits, the Lord willing. I got them already in the outline. I guess that'd be a rabbit, wouldn't it? But some things that some folks believe about the United States being pagan Babylon. We're going to check it out just a little bit, not much, because I don't think that's so. But you might need to be aware of it. Tonight, if you're lost, you need to identify this. Listen to me now. If you're lost, would you listen? You need to identify this. The burden that you have for salvation did not come from the devil. Alright? The burden that and the guilt that you have about your sins and about eternity did not come from the devil. That came from God. All right, you need to identify that. That's God touching you. That's God moving and working on you. Because God knows that you're a sinner, and He's showing you that you're a sinner. He's showing you that you have sins, blackened sins, piled high, and you can't get rid of them. And He's showing you that there's no way out except through Him. That's what He's showing you. All right? You need to identify that. That's God working in you. That's God touching you. That's God moving in your soul, showing you that you're lost. And He's also showing you that He's the one that can save you. Nobody else can. And you know that so. Jesus is the one that can forgive of sins that you can't even see. He can forgive and wash them away. And they'll be gone because He can forgive them. When you come to Him and you ask the Lord to save you and you trust Him, and He'll save you. And you might look at me and you say, well, now, I've done that. He didn't do it. You just keep on coming and you just keep on asking. You just keep on. That's what that ask, seek, and knock is. It's not just a one time nobody's home. It's that you keep on coming to the Lord. You keep on. God will bless. He'll grant unto you salvation. That's His promise. And He'll do it. Okay, we want to close with this. Brother Andy. Would you come, please? Huh?